Vrienden van Hour of Power, een hele goede morgen toegewenst. Ik zou willen dat jullie mee zouden kunnen ruiken wat je wel op beeld ziet, namelijk de prachtige bloemen hier. En de hyacinten ruiken fantastisch. We zijn erg blij met de bloemen die we geschonken kregen van een aantal bolleboeren rond de keukenhof. Bobby Schuller spreekt straks over een rotsvast geloof. En dat naar aanleiding van de bergrede. Die bergrede werd uitgesproken op de berg der zaligsprekingen door Jezus aan het meer van Tiberias. En ik verheug mij straks op als 150 Hour of Power kijkers met elkaar onder leiding van Bobby volgende maand mei ook op die berg zullen staan. En dan ook daar een uitleg zullen krijgen van Bobby. Naomi Streamer. Ik ken de naam in de muziekwereld, misschien niet voor u of voor jou, maar ze heeft meegezongen in groepen als Puff Daddy en Santana. Ik kwam uit een christelijk gezin, liet dat los, net zoals Justin Bieber, die ook opgegroeid in een zeer christelijk gezin, totdat er wat gebeurde op een avond. En dat vertelt ze bij Hour of Power. En dan een bijzondere dominee in Hour of Power Nederland, dominee André Troost. Hij heeft vele gedichten geschreven. Een aantal van zijn liederen, die hij ook schrijft, zijn opgenomen in het liedboek van de kerken. Een aantal boeken. En hij heeft een bijzonder levensverhaal. En dan, muzikaal, in Hour of Power, Daniel Rodriguez, de zingende politieman. Kortom, het wordt een hele mooie uitzending.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Turn around to those who are standing next to you. Greet them warmly. Say, God loves you, and so do I. Let's pray. Lord, we're so grateful that you've called us here. We have answered. Lord, we are seeking you today. We are asking that you lift us up, encourage us, and guide us in your ways. Your Holy Spirit, Father, springs life within us, and we're so grateful for that. Lord, we thank you for today, and we worship the name of Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
In preparing for Bobby's message this morning, please hear these words from the Sermon on the Mount. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But they who hear these words of mine and do not put them into practice are like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Thank you.
Long way home, got up when he turned wrong, didn't want
Hi, Naomi. Thank you for being here today. Before we hear from her, let me just tell you a little bit about Naomi Streamer. In 2006, Naomi was featured on the cover of Billboard magazine. That's a big deal. Predicting she would be the next commanding diva of the decade. She has worked with artists that include Randy Jackson, Carlos Santana, Puff Daddy Combs, and Justin Timberlake. Wow, you're making me nervous now. That's like you're... That's a big list. She's also signed a record deal with Sony Records, and wow, that is a great experience that you've had so far. So thank you, Naomi, for being here today and sharing with us your beautiful song. We're so grateful that you've come. Now, beyond the music, though, you really have an incredible story. Tell us a little bit about that.
You know, I always had big dreams. I did, and I worked really hard, and I had the most amazing opportunities presented to me in life. But for some reason, as the journey has progressed, it always would just stop short of becoming the dream that I had. And I always wondered why, and I always really prayed to God, you know, why are you sending me these massive opportunities if you don't want them to see it all the way through? And I was just searching with God and searching, and it seemed every time one door would close, another huge one would open, until finally I found myself in a studio in New York City, Sean's studio in New York, and just asking that question again, what am I doing here? What do you have planned for me?
And something happened to you there in that hip-hop studio, am I right?
Yes, it did. It changed my life that particular night. As I was pacing the hallway, asking God those questions, a chauffeur approached me. And I'd met him. I'd met him the night before. And I thought it was just going to be like a, hey, how are you? Passing in the hallway type experience. And
you
instead,
a chauffeur?
A chauffeur.
Okay. Like a driver.
A driver. Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, I remember him, he had his knee-high socks on, white socks, and he came up and stood right in front of me, looked me in the eye, and he said, I had a dream about you last night.
A dream?
A dream. He started to present to me my entire life, right in front of me.
And just like from beginning to end, he was describing your life.
The details of my life.
Amazing.
And, you know, there's so many things you put on a biography, all the good stuff. You know, all the beautiful, wonderful stuff. And then there's all the other real stuff. And he had both of those sets going. And at first I thought, this is a joke. Like, he knows somebody that I know really well. And suddenly it's going to be like, surprise, and got you good. And it wasn't that. It turned into, when I started to doubt, he started to tell me my prayers. And in my prayers were the very questions you keep asking God, why? Why you have all these dreams, you know, happening in front of you, and you are just about to reach out, grab a hold of them, and they vanish. They crumble into dust at your feet. And this had happened, and it was happening over and over. And he said it back to me, and he said, you can make a decision right now to stop this from happening.
To stop what from happening?
The cycle. I was terrified that I was going to be the biggest disappointment who'd had the biggest opportunities.
Sure.
And he said, right now you can choose to either continue chasing your dream, because that's what I had done.
Yeah.
You know, I had put God in this little compartment, and I said, God, I worship you, and I believe in you, but you can have this. And then I have all my dreams, and because they're mine, won't you bless them?
Interesting.
Yeah.
So it's like you had a choice. It's like God was using this man to reveal to you that not only had he heard your prayer, but that there was a choice before you, and you sort of had not made the choice yet.
Yeah, in my mind, I thought I had given God everything.
Yeah.
You know, everything that I had to give. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't. I was doing so much for me with my intentions of my goals.
Yeah.
And he said, you can keep chasing after that, and you can keep ending up right back asking these questions, why? Mm-hmm. Or you can give up everything for God.
And what would have changed in your life for you to give up everything for God and stop changing and chasing your dreams?
Well, I think that was it. I was pursuing my glory.
I see.
And I was pursuing my accomplishments. And I wanted those pats on the back, like, oh, yes, Naomi, you're doing good. Instead of living my life 100% to glorify God. What can I do, Lord, to glorify you, to spread your gospel? I couldn't get that man's message out of my head. I said, I've got to walk away. Because I did that, I met my husband literally 2 months later. And our life, it's become this ministry. And when he said to me, if you just follow God in that dream, he said, if you just follow God, God will give you all the desires of your heart. Your dreams will come true. And I thought, how's that going to be? And I've watched through the years now all these dreams and then some, stuff I never imagined that I could be capable of, because I'm not. And God has just said, I can use you and let me do it. And when I finally just let him, you know, do what he would with me. It's been incredible.
And so you have all these great things going on. You have Compassion Child sponsors. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. We just actually, my husband and I just came back from the Dominican Republic. We were with Compassion. It's a child sponsorship program that works with the church. It works, it's Christ-centered and it's child-focused. So we got to see these kids from little children of 4 years old getting their first sponsorships, all excited, to learning through the program, giving a lot of them give their lives to Jesus, over 100,000 kids last year.
Wow.
Because they're experiencing love for the first time.
Yeah,
and introduced to Christ and going on, some of them, to PhDs.
Oh, great. And of course, you're on television here, millions of people watching.
Yes.
You all around the world. And it's a stirring story, especially being this close to Los Angeles, where I'm sure there's a lot of Christians that have a similar kind of experience to yours, wanting to make it in film, wanting to make it in music or the arts, and kind of walking that line of, but I also want to serve a life for Christ. I'm sure that there are a lot of people today that were meant to hear your story. What would you say to them?
You know, I think it's simple. God has a plan. He's had a plan for you before you were born. Just let him fulfill it with you. And it's going to be marvelous. And I think it's just have faith, trust, his plan works.
All right. Naomi, thank you so much for coming today. She'll be signing. She'll be outside out in front of the Narthex signing and meeting everyone. She'd love to talk to you and tell you about what she's working on. And you're going to be singing for us again this morning?
Yes, absolutely. And I will have some chow packs if anybody wants to sponsor a kid today.
Oh, great. All right, wonderful. Let's welcome her again, ladies and gentlemen, Naomi Streamer.
Thank you so much.
You are the truth, the way, and I'm sure nothing but
En dat was Naomi Streamer. En zij zong over de overtuiging die je in je leven kan voelen. Mijn gast van vanmorgen bij Hour of Power is een man van de taal. De dominee die poëzie schrijft, die op de kansel in mooie woorden de taal spreekt en honderden liederen heeft geschreven, waarvan een aantal terug te vinden zijn in het liedboek van de kerken. En op 15-jarige leeftijd gebeurde het allemaal, want toen daagde een leraar zijn klas op het lyceum uit om een lied te schrijven voor een viering. En de dominee diende dat anoniem in. En dat werd een gevierd lied. En vanmorgen is hij, zoals gezegd, onze gast dominee André Troost. Dat was nogal wat als 15-jarige een lied schrijven en gelijk...
Ja, dat was een keer een lied. Jawel, zoals ik het toen ook wel meer schreef. Voor mezelf wel een ervaring die me rijker maakte. Kerkvol scholieren, dat was toen nog zo. Dat zo'n heel lyceum naar een kerk toog voor een paaswijding zong. Een lied waarvan niemand wist dat ik dat geschreven had. Ik wilde dat ook niet weten, want je schaamde je wezenloos. Een jongen schrijft geen gedichten, dat doe je niet. Dat is iets voor meisjes. Maar het zat er toen blijkbaar toch al wel in, ja.
Dat heeft zich ontwikkeld, want inmiddels heb je honderden liederen geschreven. Ik vertelde ook net, daar staan liederen van in het kerkboek. Misschien mag ik dat even aanhalen, want je noemde al Pasen. Rond het licht dat leven doet, groeten wij elkaar met vrede. Nou, we zitten in een hele onvredige wereld. Paaslicht, straal ons tegemoet, zegen wie uw liefde delen. Licht dat dit geheim behoedt, God is goed. En toen begreep ik het niet.
Paaslicht, het licht dat een geheim bewaart. En het geheim is, God is goed. Ondanks alles wat dat lijkt te weerspreken, blijft dat overeind. En wil het paaslicht eigenlijk dat verkondigen, stralenderwijs. God is goed.
Is hij dat?
Ja, dat is hij vast en zeker. Ja, dat zie je niet altijd, dat beleef je niet altijd. En soms zie je van dat paaslicht helemaal niks. En dan, dan kan het gebeuren dat je richting de hemel vloekt. Zoals je dat om je heen vaak hoort. En soms ook in je eigen hart tot je verbijstering wel bespeurt. Maar dat andere overwint.
Er staan een groot aantal van jouw gedichten die inmiddels op muziek zijn gezet in. Welke vind je nou de mooiste?
Oeh, dat kan ik echt zo niet zeggen, Jan. Ik heb...
Is dat bescheidenheid?
Nou, nee, onkunde, onmacht. Als je mij zou vragen welke van je 5 kinderen vind je het liefst, dan krijg je van mij echt geen antwoord. En ja, zoiets geldt ook voor mijn liedteksten. En als je mij vraagt, ja, wat heb je met bepaalde teksten, dan wil ik je wel vertellen dat er één lied in staat waar wel een mooi verhaal aan vast zit. Althans, een mooi en een minder mooi verhaal. Zieke vogel, vleugellam viel je uit de bomen. En op een dag stond ons buurjongetje op de stoep van de pastorie. Dominee, kijk eens, hij had een vogeltje in zijn hand. Dat was uit een nest gevallen en hij zou ervoor zorgen. En ik vond het zo aandoenlijk. Een paar dagen later kwam hij om me te vertellen dat het vogeltje weer opgevlogen was. Het was goed verzorgd, hij had ervoor gezorgd en het vogeltje was weer beter en het was opgevlogen. Ik vond het zo aandoenlijk, ik heb er een versje over gemaakt. En dat jaren later herschreven, toen een van onze eigen 5 vogeltjes ziek werd, kanker bleek te hebben, een half jaar daar tegen vocht en toen uiteindelijk toch moest opvliegen. En nu staat het in het liedboek.
Dat zeg je wel even zo, maar om eigen kind kwijt te raken aan kanker, dat is toch iets wat je leven verandert?
Ik denk het wel, dat heeft wel een bepaalde impact, geen kleine.
Want helpt dat ook als je dominee bent en je moet vaak mensen troosten die ziek zijn, die oog in oog staan met de dood wat je zelf hebt gezien bij je eigen kind? Wat? Nou, is dat gedicht misschien, geeft dat lied wel een antwoord?
Zieke vogel, vleugellam viel je uit de bomen, lag je daar tot iemand kwam, die jou meegenomen, kleine vogel, zo benauwd, veilig in zijn handen houdt. O, zo zwak en vol verdriet lag je bang te beven. Verder vliegen kon je niet, zo niet langer leven. Niet meer vrolijk, niet meer blij. Lam geslagen, vogelvrij. Kleine vogel, vlieg omhoog nu je bent genezen. Je mag vliegen waar je vloog, zonder pijn te vrezen. Zie, er is een open hand, je bent vrij naar alle kant. Boven akkers, stad en land mag je God gaan loven. Kleine vogel in Gods hand, vlieg omhoog, naar boven. Vlieg omhoog en vlieg voorgoed, vlieg de vrijheid tegemoet.
Dat kon je niet lezen zonder emotie.
Dan trilt er wel wat mee, ja. Ja, dan zie je toch ook allemaal weer voor je. Dat zieke vogeltje, heel benauwd in die laatste nacht. Ja, maar goed, zo zie je dat zo'n lied allerlei geschiedenissen tezamen bewaart.
Daar ligt de kinderbijbel. En ik heb gevraagd of je iets zou willen voorlezen uit je eigen kinderbijbel, waar je 142 Bijbelse personen beschrijft. En die heb je uitgekozen. Je bent tenslotte opa van 5 kleinkinderen.
Ja, dat kan ik niet ontkennen. En toen ik deze kinderbijbel schreef, had ik dan ook wel hen op het oog, moet ik eerlijk zeggen. Elk verhaal gaat over 1 persoon uit de Bijbel. Dit gaat over Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is klein. Dat was hij al op school. Hij werd ermee geplaagd. Hé, kleintje. Zacchaeus dacht, wacht maar, als ik later groot ben. Maar Zacchaeus werd niet groot. Zacchaeus was en bleef een klein mannetje. Zacchaeus dacht, ik ga hoger op. Ik wil een goede baan. Ik word een belangrijk iemand. Zacchaeus gaat werken bij de belastingdienst. Hij wordt tollenaar. Hij komt in dienst van de Romeinen, die de baas zijn in het land. De Romeinen willen geld van de mensen, belastinggeld. Iedereen moet betalen. Dat geld is voor de wegen en voor het leger en voor de keizer ver weg in Rome. Zacchaeus doet goed zijn best.
Ik vind het mooi beschreven.
Nou, dank je.
Eigentijds, kinderen kunnen het begrijpen. En er zit ook wat kritiek in naar de belastingdienst, beluister ik toch?
Ja, ik heb het niet zo op de fiscus eerlijk gezegd. Al begrijp ik goed dat die er moet zijn. Ja. En betaal ik prompt wat men mij vraagt.
Ja, geef des keizers
wat
des keizers is.
Ja.
Wie is uw favoriete persoon in de Bijbel?
Thomas.
De ongelovige?
Ja. Ja, niet omdat hij ongelovig is, maar omdat hij er een van een tweeling is, zullen we maar zeggen. Het is altijd, ja, deze kant, de andere kant, wikken, wegen, niet zeker weten. Nou ja, Petrus die had er natuurlijk ook wel wat van. Hè? Petrus mag ik ook wel. Mooie verhalen, grote woorden en als het op aankomt dan is die nergens en dan verloochent die Jezus. Ik heb wel wat met de mensen in de Bijbel die het eigenlijk niet zo goed doen. Als je begrijpt wat ik bedoel.
Ik begrijp wat u bedoelt.
Ja. Je hebt toch door de jaren heen zo je vragen. En dan kun je niet altijd op begrip stuiten. Want je stelt soms vragen waarvan mensen zeggen, gunst, is dat een vraag? Die vraag is bij mij nooit opgekomen. Nou ja, dan denk ik, ja, jammer, maar bij mij wel. En mag ik daar even iets over zeggen? Want ik merk toch tegelijkertijd dat het ook vragen zijn die bij anderen wel leven. Ja, het beste is maar om altijd maar te doen alsof je alles zeker weet. Dan heb je geen problemen, maar dat is mijn pakkie aan niet. Zo zit ik niet in elkaar, Jan.
Geweldig. Ja. Nou, ik bewonder je eerlijkheid. En hier zit niet een dominee die alles precies weet. En dat waardeer ik ongelooflijk. Volgende week is het Pasen.
Ja.
Wat is in een paar woorden Pasen voor jou?
Leven met hoofdletters. En dat zeker weten. Dat nou toevallig wel is zeker weten. Dat er leven is. Dat God garant staat voor het leven. Met hoofdletters. Met alles erop en eraan. Eeuwig leven, maar ook al hier leven waar je u tegen kunt zeggen. En dat leven, dat is er wanneer er sprake is van liefde. Leven is liefde. Om je vroeg met een paar woorden. Nou, ga ik mijn grenzen ver te buiten. Neem me niet kwalijk.
Ik denk dat voldoende stof tot nadenken is voor onze kijkers. Ik geef je graag dit boek, want je bent een denker. En dat was deze man ook, Henry Nouwen. Ik neem aan dat je hem kent.
Jazeker.
Ik had een beetje het gevoel, want daarvoor heb ik ook dit boek uitgekozen, ken je? Dat je een beetje vreemdeling in het paradijs bent ergens. Dat heb je ook manifest gemaakt in dit gesprek. Zo voelde Henry zich ook, vreemdeling in het paradijs. Nou. Dus met enige gêne geef ik dit toch, want het is niet beschuldigend bedoeld.
Nee, dan ben ik in elk geval niet enige vreemdeling, dus dat is mooi om samen daar rond te lopen.
Ja,
ja, zeer bedankt.
André, geweldig dat je hier was en je bent inmiddels emeritus dominee. Ik hoop dat er nog heel veel van die mooie gedichten, als ik af en toe ergens preek, ik zeg ik kan niet preken, ik denk hardop, dan gebruik ik vaak een gedicht van je en ik vind ze troostrijk, om maar even bij jouw naam te blijven, en mooi. Wij gaan weer terug naar Shepherd Grove.
You need that microphone. It was like here. I don't know if you saw it. He was singing. It was still like awesome. Very cool. The number one mission of this church is its global mission to a hurting world, the Hour of Power. And for those of you who are watching on Hour of Power, we want you to know from this church to you that we love you and we encourage you and we can't wait to see you come here sometime. Write to us. We're praying for you and we believe in you. That's our mission, isn't it? There's millions of people out there that look to this church and this ministry for encouraging, for life, and for love every single week. And that is a very, very good thing. So thank you all for being here today, and thank you for sharing in this great ministry. We have a bright future, and we're looking forward to seeing where the Holy Spirit leads us. Isn't that exciting? Yeah, great. Okay. I'm sorry to say that today we are finishing our long, long series on the Sermon on the Mount. Everybody say, aww. I know. It was good while it lasted. It's been 4 months. There's a couple passages in there that were so difficult to preach on, especially the passage on divorce. That was a challenge. But it seemed that all the times in which God brings us to difficult passages in the Sermon on the Mount, he used it to encourage and bless others. Well, today we don't really finish with a new lesson. We just essentially finish with Jesus telling us, do what I told you to do just now. All this stuff that we've been studying the last 4 months, Jesus is saying, go and do it. Now, that may seem simple, but that is actually a big deal. Christians don't like to do things sometimes. And so Jesus is essentially saying, stop talking about it, stop studying, stop thinking, stop being cerebral, just get out there and go do what I told you to do. And he says, if you do this, your life is like the house that's built on the rock. So we're going to talk a bit about that. Now, I live in a little town called Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Broken Arrow is a little town outside of Tulsa, Oklahoma, and it has the worst weather in the whole world. It is horrible. Even on beautiful days, it's always windy. And there's something about Oklahomans that contrasts very different from Californians. They are always ready for weather. They're always interested in the weather. They're always thinking about weather. If you go to a Starbucks in Tulsa or even a big city in Oklahoma, you will see people on their laptops looking at weather in their own town. They're like, that's interesting. Let's see what kind of weather's going on in Michigan. I'm looking, oh, that's interesting. I wonder what it's like. And people in Oklahoma are obsessed with the weather. The reason I say this is that because people in Oklahoma are obsessed about the weather, they're always prepared for it. They have shelters. They have really well-built homes. They're ready for the wind. They are never going to leave an expensive tent outside and let it get demolished by something as trivial as the weather. That would never happen in Oklahoma. It would be safely cleaned, wrapped, and placed in the shed where it belongs. You know, and there's a big difference there. I still remember the first time I saw my first tornado. I'm like this California boy, and I'm like really scared of like weather. I'm at this guy's house, and I'm going to speak at this Baptist college. And we're eating at the dinner table, and nobody's paying attention. This pastor, his family, and another guy that was traveling with me. And it was like, boom, 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 the thunder outside. Like bombs were falling. And I'm just like, you know, eating my food. And everybody there seems like they're not even paying attention to it. Wind's blowing, rain's coming. And then all of a sudden, it all stops. And the pastor goes, like this. He looks up and goes, uh-oh. They went down in the shed, and he said, you know what, fellas, don't worry about it. Don't worry, there ain't going to be no tornado. There's no tornado sirens. And almost as if we were in a movie, the first thing you hear is, wah! And a cop car goes flying down the road, and like it had to be a cat or something behind him goes, in the wind. And of course, what do? Three wise gentlemen, we walk out on the porch to see the tornado. So we go out there and we stand, and it really actually wasn't that big of a deal. There was a tornado, and it just went, it looked like a little finger, and it just went, boop, boop. And this kind of thing, you know, and it just kind of disappeared. But he wasn't afraid of a tornado, and he wasn't afraid of the storm. Why? He was prepared. We might say that he anticipated the rains are coming, the winds are blowing, the streams are rising. And because as an Oklahoman, he was ready for it, his stuff didn't get destroyed, his house didn't get thrashed, and his life was not in danger because he was ready for the storm. Today we're going to talk about what it means to build your life on a storm. And it's very simple. Build your life on the storm means do what Jesus tells you to do. You see, Jesus wants disciples. That's something that we Christians so easily forget. Jesus actually wants us to do the things he tells us to do. Jesus wants disciples, and he wants us to obey, and he doesn't want us to obey because he's proud, because he's angry, because he's controlling, or because he's manipulative. He wants us to obey because he loves us. My son Cohen loves to climb the stairs. I'm constantly yelling at him to not climb the stairs. He's a 2-year-old, and last week he took a little tumble. He got to the third stair, fell back, and went blue, and he cried, and he was fine. But I was actually almost thankful that he got a little hurt, because I know now he'll be afraid of the stairs, and he won't get a lot hurt next time, hopefully. He is a boy. You never know. And he does take after Dad. Matthew 7, if you have your Bibles, you can follow along. Jesus says, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Only the one who does the will of my Father. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, evildoers. Pause right there just for a moment. How many people, how many Christians, those of you who have kind of grown up in the church, how many of these people do you think will be surprised when they stand before God and they say, Lord, Lord, and they think that's going to get them into heaven and they realize it doesn't? I like to think of these people as password Christians that follow password theology. Let me get you in a room, guys. I'm going to let you in on the password. You got the password, you're going to get in. The password is to say, Lord, Lord, to Jesus. If you do that, you're good. Now, this is people a little bit, especially if you grew up in the church, can make you feel a little bit insecure because you maybe have not read this passage or read it in this light, but think about how often churches simply teach the people in their congregations or at evangelical gatherings that if you simply pray this prayer, you will go to heaven. If you simply say, Lord, Lord, and nothing else changes in your life, you will enter the kingdom of God. Jesus actually addresses that idea specifically and says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, and I will say, get away from me, I never knew you. Uh-oh. So there's the first group he talks about, which is password Christians, and then the second group that he talks about, I think of as spiritual firework Christians. He specifically mentions people that can heal the sick, maybe people that can raise the dead, people that can speak prophecies into others' lives. And they'll say, Lord, didn't we do all these things, cast out demons and work many miracles, and we did all of these great things? And he will say, depart from me, I never knew you. The way, and we studied this last week, the way that you know if he knows me or she knows me is by their fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, etc. Lord does not mean necessarily God, although it does mean that. Lord means, if Jesus is your Lord, it means he's your boss, he's your master, he's your ruler, he's your king, he is El Presidente. What Jesus wants, Jesus gets, and that's what it means for Jesus to be Lord of your life. It doesn't mean you say it, it means that your life follows what you claim to be true. He then says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, I'm going to read this slowly. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down. Maybe we should say is like an Oklahoman who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. The rains are a-coming. The wind will be a-blowing. The streams will be arising. Are you ready? Whether you're religious or not, whether you're Christian or not, there is going to be wind, there is going to be rain, there is going to be rising streams, and the only way you will make it, the only way your life will be of something of true value, the only way it will actually have meaning is if you follow the master of living, who is Jesus. If you do what Jesus says, your life will be strong, built, steadfast, cleave to the rock, immovable, unshakable. I picture like a bunch of settlers settling on an island named Catan. None of you play board games. And All of these settlers go down by the river where they don't have to walk far to get, you know, to get the fish and get fresh water. And they're all settling down there. And one smart man puts his house up on the hill where the rock is. And he has to walk every day. It's really hard. He has to take those buckets of water down and bring it back up to his house. He has to go a long way to get his food and his fish. All the game are along the river. All the fish are in the water. But he tells those people, this is a rainy place. This is a windy place. You are too close to that river. And they ignore him and say, oh, you fool. Look how easy our life is and look how hard your life is up there on the rock. And he says, my friends, the winds are coming. The rains are coming. The streams will be arising. And sure enough, the storm comes. And all of those people who had that easy life down by the river, it was all for nothing. It was all destroyed. That's what life is like. Once there were three little pigs. That story has to be about this passage of the Bible. I know it is. The wolf's a coming. Are you ready? He's a coming. You know, if you've built a house of brick and you've built it on the rock, you can mock that wolf till you're blue in the face and he ain't gonna harm you nothing. And look at me, I'm like taking on Oklahoma. You build your house out of brick and that wolf comes, you don't have to worry about him because you have taken the time to build your house, your life, the right way. John Ortberg points us in the direction of a study from Stanford University that says there are all of these companies that have this thing called the knowing-doing gap. These companies, they study, they get consultants to come in to teach them, say something on like customer service. This company knows they need to improve customer service, so they have a customer service seminar with a customer service consultant, and they get new customer service technology. They write customer service into their values for their company, and they have all of this knowledge about what the best and newest trends are in customer service, and nothing happens. This happens all the time in businesses. All of this money and time is thrown at learning, and yet customer service just never actually happens. I'm so glad that never happens in the church. I'm so glad that never happens in my life as a believer. I'm being facetious. We spend a lot of time looking at the Greek and going to Bible studies and listening to podcasts. Enough. It's time to start doing. We are so brilliant. We can make the greatest arguments. We've memorized the Heidelberg Catechism and the Westminster Shorter Catechism. You can tell me everything theologically and doctrinally about Jesus, the uncreated essence of the Father in the flesh, second person in the Trinity, seated at the right hand, blah, 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 blah. Do something. I feel like he says, many will say to me on that day, many pastors and theologians and many seminary professors and many spiritual people will say to me on that day, we knew lots of stuff about you. We know you're Lord. And I will say, just get away from me. I don't even know you. You didn't do anything I told you to do. Just go away. What you know really almost doesn't matter to some degree unless you put it into practice. Jesus stirs the heart, the emotions, the will, the mind. The very name itself has spiritual power, and that's why it cannot be even mentioned in a neutral way. To say Jesus anywhere moves everything. Millions of people have spent trillions of hours writing and making art and worshiping and lifting up this name. There is no name like Jesus. Amen. And Jesus, that name, causes you to make a choice. Everyone who followed Jesus when he was on earth seemed to go in one of two directions. Either they kind of like always wanted to worship him and follow him and always be with him and hinge on every word, or somehow it went the other way. They wanted to kill him and crucify him and plot against him and see him dead. The one word that was always used for Jesus was wonder. No one could be neutral with Jesus. And today, no one can be neutral with Jesus. There is no middle road with him. There is no neutral. There is no lukewarm. There's yes or no. There's either or. There's narrow, difficult road or wide, easy road. There are two roads, one that leads to life, one that leads to death. There is no middle ground. Jesus demands everything or nothing. His name has power, and every time his name is mentioned, whether you know it or not, your soul is reminded of a choice you yet have to make. Will I do what he said, or will I do what I say? Everyone say to me, this is my chance. Jesus is calling you to stop being so much of a talker and being much more of a doer. It's time to do something this week. Something is going to present itself to you in which you have a chance to do the things that we've spent the last 4 months studying. You will have the opportunity to actually do something that Jesus told you to do. There will be a couple next door that's poor and needs babysitting and money for movies and dinner. And you're going to say, it starts with a this. Everybody say, this is my chance. You're going to be at the pharmacy and you're going to need your medication and some guy is going to cut in front of you in line and you are going to say to yourself,
this is my chance.
Yeah, your chance to love that guy and encourage him. He's sick. He needs help. You're going to have a dear friend that's in the hospital and you're going to be busy and you're not going to know when to find the time and you're going to say to yourself,
this is my
chance. That's right. Somebody's going to lash out at you in anger, and you're going to say,
this is my chance.
That's right. You're going to see your husband doing the dishes. You get it. All right. Fine. Jesus has a way of living. He wants us to be the light of the world. He wants us to relent from our anger. He wants us to put our family first. He wants us to stop lying. He wants us to love our enemies. He wants us to care for those who speak bad about us. He wants to care for the needy, those who are hungry, those who are thirsty. He wants us to care about justice and not to do it for our own glory, but to do it for that for others. He wants us to be praying people who pray simply and pray because we know that God is listening. He wants us to be fasting people. He wants us to be people who stop worrying and never worry and don't think about tomorrow and regret yesterday, but live today in the easy rhythms of grace. He wants us not to store up for ourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, but store up real heavenly treasures that we can access today that never go away. He wants us to stop judging people, to stop shoving religion down people's throats. He wants us to know that if we need something like Tom Bombadil, we can ask him. He's going to come. He's going to deliver. We know that we serve a good God. There is a way of living and a way of doing, and we're going to do it. If you believe it, say, this is my chance. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today, for the opportunity to do what you told us to do, to follow you, to love you, to worship you. God, it's in Jesus' name we come before you. Amen. Thank you, everyone that came here today. I love this church. I love you. We are family. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Een rotsvast geloof, Bobby Schuller, dat is heel mooi. En ik vertel het al, er is binnenkort een reis in mei naar Israël, Jordanië, onder leiding van Bobby Schuller. Het is helemaal volgeboekt, maar mogelijk kunt u zich op een wachtlijst laten zetten, want er vallen altijd mensen af. Ik wens iedereen een hele goede zondag toe. Volgende week is het Pasen. Pasen is een van de belangrijkste gebeurtenissen op de christelijke kalender. En wat de betekenis van Pasen is en waarom er Pasen is en waarom we niet zonder Pasen kunnen, dat vertelt Arie de Rover volgende week. Een hele goede zondag en ik hoop tot volgende week.